Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Oregon hoops, a little baseball. No one's got that duet covered like our next guest. Find his work in the sports section of the Register Guard online, registerguard.com. Also, ducksports.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at @SteveMims_RG. Steve Mims, how is life treating you these days?
I'm doing great, Steve. Good to catch up with you.
So, as much of a nightmare, the massive snow dump last week. I'm not sure what part of town you live in. Everybody do well, survive heat and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, no, we survive as well as anybody. Kids got some days off school. I got a few trees, but just more branches. Nothing structural, so just a little cleanup, but I'm good.
All right, good to know. So, ironically, as we talk about the Arctic freeze, naturally, let's talk some baseball. Somebody actually heard when you were coming on said they wanted me to ask you this question. When the Ducks play the Beavers, I think twice a season, why does that not count as a conference game?
Well, they'll play three games each year in conference play, but that's all you play against any other school, so... But since those are all at the same site each year, and to get a boost in attendance, instead of having, you know, a Gonzaga or a University of San Diego come here on a Tuesday, they'll get Oregon State. You know, this year Oregon hosts Oregon State in Pac-12, so they'll go play two at Goss Stadium in non-conference. A, it helps your RPI. It's a better non-conference game than you'd normally play. And B, you're actually going to draw crowds that you normally don't get for a Tuesday. So works out that way. It's kind of weird because you're not throwing your best pitcher and kind of your best game because them on the weekend, but that's college baseball. The way the schedule turns is often a little weird.
All right. That's interesting. I honestly had no idea, but the list of what I don't know is pretty long. So I was listening to some of the baseball game over the weekend, and obviously you follow this closely. If you're going to contend, you need a stud Friday starter. I know that they had Cullen Kafka, Cole Stringer. Are the coaches still searching for their number one, or are they pretty sure who it's going to be moving forward?
Well, their number one, they hope, is Kenyon Jovan, who's back to a pitcher. He had kind of some blood clots that appeared in his palm when he was first standing in the air. Kind of sketchy for a pitcher to have blood clots in your hand. But so they sat him out the last 2 weeks. Sounds like he's been cleared. He will be able to pitch when they go to Hawaii this week, which day they'll probably move him to the back to give him as much rest as possible. But if he's healthy, he's their number one guy, and he's as good as anybody in the conference, so it lines up well for him. But the concern now is just how well this hand heals. They're only a week away from Pac-12 play now, so I think their main concern, even if he doesn't pitch in Hawaii, is to get him ready to go for that Washington game in 2 weeks. And then they like Ryan Nelson after him, although he's been a closer. If they need some help in the bullpen, he could go there. And Kafka and Stringer would be the two. In that case, it would buy for the number three or the two and three if Nelson moves to the pen.
All right. Talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. In recent years, you've heard terms like small ball, station to station. I guess some of the knocks has been limited firepower with the bats. But you look at what happened at Texas Tech, 24 runs. They've had 17 over the weekend. I actually heard Joey Mack talk about this team just looks a little more physical. And Steve, obviously it's early, but does it seem maybe they have a little more power, a little more thump offensively?
I think so, in part because, you know, you mentioned some of the guys who came back, Spencer Steer, Gabe Matthews, Johnny DeLuca, and Jacob Goldfarb have been some of their guys, not in terms of home run power, but at least in terms of gap power and extra base power. So those guys are all back and a little older, and then they've gotten a freshman, Aaron Zavala, who's come in and hit like 500 through the first 2 weeks, and not a ton of power there, but a guy who can get on base for him there and certainly drive some runs in. So I'm not sure that we're looking at, any Hurdy's wall bangers or anything like that quite at this point, but I think you can probably figure that this team may be a slight increase in homers, but if nothing else, just maybe more extra base hits, like you say, more gap-to-gap and being able to move more guys than just station-to-station.
Harvey's wall bangers. Anytime you could reference that, you just upgraded the entire program. Let's get to hoops. Oregon crushes Arizona State, who's a tournament team. They end a sweep of Arizona, a Pac-12 blue blood. I mean, What does it say about the direction this season has taken that the sweep at home this weekend, it really didn't make that big of a ripple beyond getting them in a position to maybe get a bye in the conference tournament?
Yeah, because the last 2 years, you know, the Arizona game at home was the game of the year. It was sold out, and the win kind of really propelled Oregon to something. But like you say, this year it propelled them into sixth place, and you know, now they go on the road. So I don't even question that that was their best weekend of the season. And, you know, when something like that happens, you look and say, well, is there something that was different or was it kind of fluky? But I think if you look at kind of what Okoro's daily role is about this today, him kind of becoming a little bit of an inside scorer for them, adding the fact that Will Richardson's shot looked pretty good this weekend, and that Miles Norris is just looking a little bit more comfortable out there doing a lot of things. I do, and we saw Ehab Amin, who didn't play against UCLA, really came in and played well in two games. It feels like the first time all year when you can kind of look at their nine-man rotation and feel like everybody's kind of in it, and you can probably count on any of those guys if you needed for 10 to 15 minutes a game. And so that might be what I take out of the weekend is that, yeah, they played really well, but if you're looking at saying, hey, can they make a run? Is there something different than what we saw early on? I do think they're as deep on the bench as they've been all year, not even in terms of numbers, but just in terms of how many minutes you can get from each guy.
You know, what one name, and you mentioned him. I mean, he had a career-high rebounds Thursday, then a career-high in points, and he's another freshman. You know, everybody was so focused on Bowl and King. But what you observed, what are the coaches saying about the obvious upgrade in performance from Francis Okoro?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it. I mean, that second half against Arizona, they put him down on the block, and Arizona had nothing to physically match up with them, so they just kept throwing it to him, and he scored all four times. He went down the game before. He got all his shoes, gave him some foul trouble, and went to the free throw line a couple times. 17 rebounds in 42 minutes over the weekend, so that's more than one every 3 minutes, which is pretty impressive. Again, the guy we've seen since him a little bit earlier, kind of brought him off the bench, but in the last couple, he's certainly been better, and I think also he's kind of been there vocally, which they normally say for a freshman. And this is a guy who, you know, just isn't seen on the court to be that kind of a ruler in the school, but Dana compared him in kind of a rebound to Dana Brooks, as a guy who's kind of taken getting the team ready for games.
Hey, Steve, I don't know where you are, but I think we only got about a third of that. I don't know if are you driving around or on speakerphone or whatever, but
no, I'm just standing in the backyard looking at all my down trees. You reminded me about all my down trees when we came out in the backyard. So
sorry,
I won't move though, hopefully for an efficient spot.
All right, that sounds better. Let's wrap with this, and I know it's hypothetical, but we were talking about this last week. You know, there was a time when Oregon had never made it to the Big Dance three straight years. Then they had never advanced in two straight years. Then obviously they went to five in a row, moved on, Elite Eight, Final Four. And while last year they missed the big tournament but made the NIT, and this might sound a little snobby, do you think they'd accept an invite to anything lesser than the NIT, like the CBI?
You know, I thought about the other day, too. I think you probably have to, because I would say you look kind of snobby if you don't. And also just with the fact that, you know, really there is a big group coming back. If you particularly, if you feel like you're playing well and maybe you make a run to the semis, you might think, hey, that's not two more weeks of practice and games with this group. But also, but you know, at some of those tournaments, one of them doesn't even take Power 5 anymore. CBI might. I'm not sure that Oregon at this point takes that. I think you might even ask, you know, do you go back-to-back to the NIT? But I think at that point you probably have to take that. Although, you know, there's so many teams eligible in the Pac-12, they might not even be on the pecking order if they end up, you know, at 8-10 in the conference. So I think it's something they'd have to decide, but I think you probably take it if you're asked, but you're probably not out there begging to be invited.
Yeah, I'm thinking, obviously, if they won the tournament and go to the real dance, that's fine, and even the NIT. But I just, like I said, that would be interesting. Folks, yeah. He's Steve Mims of the Register Guard. Find his work in the sports section, Register Guard online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter, at @SteveMims_RG. So I just realized, you're going to Washington, not Hawaii, right? You draw the short straw?
That is correct. That is correct.
All right, Steve, always appreciate your time. Travel safe, and look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, Steve. Always fun.
All right, take it easy.